personally want to thank everyone for all the help that we had this morning. I know that it was a large change in introducing Sunday school for everybody. And it's good to see each one out the first Lord's Day in the new year. I know there are a number missing who are missing because of the weather. I think of dear Miss Sutton. I made a special effort to see her the last 2 weeks. And I told her she understood the change, and she said, "I'll be here every time I can, but I do not go out when it is slippy. I can't be out on the ice." And I think the same is true for Mrs. R.L. Mann, and there are others. But it's good to see each one out. And since this is the first Lord's Day of the new year, I better get off to a good start, as well as everybody else. You heard that we're going to try to end this service each week at, in the neighborhood, at 11:45. I'm shooting for 11:45, really. Now, if I go over a couple minutes, it will still give everybody good time to get your roast beef before all the others do, are there in the restaurant. But I'm hoping to be through by 11:45. Furthermore, each Lord's Day morning, when our brother David returns from Urbana, the choir will be singing. There'll be special music, and I'm looking forward to this. They did an excellent job on with the Christmas music, and I thank the musicians and all those who labor. And basically those who worked with the Sunday school children at this hour previously are the basic unit in the choir. And it's impossible to be at two places at once. And so that's one of the reasons that we made the change. And I want to thank everyone who is cooperating in this. And I think it's going to result in real blessing. And let's continue to work at it. And if we didn't have enough Sunday school books to go around, and we didn't, and I had ordered about 15 more than signed up, I'm thrilled over that. I'll guarantee you we'll have books in the will of the Lord by next Lord's Day morning, enough to go around and for others who I trust will be coming in. And those that you see missing today, feel free to contact them and encourage them to come along. Now, I've said enough. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Loving Father, as we bow in thy presence, now as we open thy word, give us the ability to glean precious truth from it, that our Lord Jesus will be glorified above all else. We thank you for the children in our midst, for the privilege of having them hear not only the Word of God in the Sunday school, but also here in this service. We thank you for every boy and girl. We thank you for the safe delivery of this grandchild, for the man. And we pray for a safe delivery this afternoon into Tennessee of Gretchen and Patrick as they travel back to college. Give journeying mercies, we pray. May thy hand be upon them for good. And for others of our number who are traveling, we just ask for thy special blessing. Now as we open your word, give us something from yourself. May we hear thy voice. May it please thee to bless us in an abundant way for Jesus' sake. Amen. Today is the first Sunday in 1988. It's therefore good to take a look at a new beginning. And I invite you to turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And while I shall not finish this message this morning, I shall tonight. And I invite you back tonight at 6 o'clock to get the closing of this message. But here in 1 Peter chapter 1, we begin our reading at verse 22, where we read, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Today is the first Lord's Day in the new year. We have 363 days left that we know nothing about in this year. We know not what they shall bring. We cannot boast of any of them, for the word of God tells us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But the new beginning that we're talking about, it's a new beginning with God. And a new beginning with God is regeneration. Our Lord said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And everything in the believer's life flows from this new beginning. Because the new birth begets a new nature, and that new nature begets a new walk with God. You must be born again. Our Lord didn't say you must be justified. He didn't say you must be forgiven. But he did say you must be born again. For because justification, forgiveness of sins, and all the other blessings that we talk of in being saved flow out of regeneration. The regeneration is the receiving of a new life from God. And that's what the new birth is. Now, in our text, you'll notice Peter exhorts the brethren to love one another with a pure heart fervently. Well, that's a big task. And apart from the new birth, that is impossible. You cannot love one another with a pure heart fervently unless you are truly born of God. Now, Peter bases his argument, by the way, not on philosophy, and he doesn't base it on keeping the law. But he bases it on the fact that the gracious and new nature was infused into the child of God upon being born again. For you'll notice the word being born again, and it is relative to loving one another with a pure heart fervently. It is impossible to do it apart from the new birth. Now, when you look at other believers as being heirs of the kingdom of God and heirs of the glory of God, we look upon them as princes with royal blood. Brother Sutton this morning at the close of the Lord's Supper, he opened the scriptures with us in Revelation chapter 1, and he emphasized the fact that God has made us kings and priests, and we are made thus unto God and our Father. The Church of Jesus Christ, the family of God, is earth's true aristocracy. And we are earth's true aristocracy because we have been redeemed with the royal blood of heaven, the blood of Jesus Christ. We are infused with the very life of God. We possess the new nature, the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Therefore, friends, to love one another with a pure heart fervently is the outflow of a noble birth. And that noble birth is called in Scripture the new birth. And theologians call it regeneration, being born of God. Now, we can ask a question this morning. And we should ask the question, at the beginning of 1988, oh, what is a Christian? What is a Christian? Now, if you can compare a Christian to a king, what does he do? He adds priestly sanctity to royalty. We are priests as well as kings. That's what a Christian is. Now, if we look at an earthly king, the king's royalty lies in his crown. But with a Christian, beloved, the royalty of a Christian is infused into his very nature. So really, I'm far greater than the King of England. Well, you say England doesn't have a king, you're right. But I'm far greater than the Queen of England. Because I'm reckoned by God. If the Queen of England is a child of God, then she's my sister. Then we're on an even plane as the aristocracy of heaven. You see, beloved, the believer, the child of God, by reason of the new birth, is above his fellows as much as man is above the beast that perisheth. And this is our portion as the children of God. Now, what I want to do this morning and continue to do tonight is just take a look at the new birth. And we want to compare it with our first birth and contrast it. We want to take a look, first of all, at the ways in which our first birth into this life and the new birth are similar. And then we want to look at them in which ways they differ. How the new birth differs from natural birth. First of all, let's compare them. Let's look first of all at how they're alike. When the two births are compared, we notice every life is prefaced by a birth. There's no other way to be in the family of Adam. You have to be born. It is so naturally, and so it is spiritually, just as it is necessary to be born in order to be a member of the human family. And everybody living has a birthday. That's the only way into the human family. There isn't any other way. But now when it comes to the kingdom of God, there's only one way in. And that's why the new birth is so important. For you see, birth is a lofty gateway by which we are admitted into the kingdom of God. But birth is also the lowly gateway by which we are admitted into the human family. When we come into the human family, it's a lowly gateway. We're born. But when we come into the heavenly family, the kingdom of God, oh, what a lofty gateway it is to be able to speak of being born again. Now, it's a hallowed season when one is born, friends. Oh, when I stood with Mike and Beth the other week, well, it was basically with Mike and his parents as we were looking through the glass at the little Josiah as he was just born a few minutes before. Boy, there were a lot of things going through my mind. I'll tell you, it was just a few moments before that baby was in darkness. He was covered in the womb of the mother. But now he's born. Beloved, when it's time for birth, it's going to happen no matter where you are. Birth. Oh, what a hallowed thing it is. And every one of us has a birthday. And there's some noble people were born on the same day as I was, believe it or not. Some people with many talents were born on the same day I was. Now, I won't go into details, but there it is. But you see, there are two kinds of days that are important. Birthdays and death days. You think it over. You never forget the day that a loved one dies. It's a solemn thing. It's a solemn thing, beloved. And it's solemn with us. And I tell you, I can just imagine the joyful feelings that Mr. and Mrs. Mann had yesterday. And even Uncle Doug and Aunt Gretchen. I tell you, it's a blessing. It's a solemn thing. For when David describes it in the 139th Psalm, he speaks of being curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. and it has reference to his conception and his growth in the mother's womb. From the time that the seed was implanted until the day of birth, curiously wrought. But beloved, when we look at the mystery of life, when a baby's born into a family, think of the mystery of life concerning being born into the heavenly family, being born into the kingdom of God, being born as a child of God. Our Lord said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot even see it. You see, wow, when we look at David says, he was curiously wrought. In thy book, every one of my members was written, when as much there was not even one of them. But now when it comes to entrance into the kingdom of God, being born again, how the Spirit of God operates on the soul. And our Lord, in explaining it to Nicodemus, he said, the wind bloweth where it willeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell from whence it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. You see, the new birth is the work of the Spirit of God. And this is why it's so important, friends. And this is why, if you're here today, now listen to me. If you're here today and you're not sure that you have been born of God, ask God to make this a reality in your life. The only thing that really matters, really, in the whole life, it's the only thing that matters, whether or not you've been born of God. Have you felt this mystery? The wind bloweth where it willeth. In other words, that mystery of when the Spirit of God makes the person of Christ real to your heart. When you realize that before God, you're a sinner, and you need that salvation that's found in the person of God's dear Son. Apart from this, there really is nothing. So you see, the gateway to life, whether it's physical life, being born the first time, it's birth. Whether it's spiritual life, being born the second time, it's birth. But now notice, what do you know about birth? You see, life is created by a process a birth, and so the new birth. You see, creation of life. A new being is created. And whenever I go to visit the hospital where a child has been born to a family, I always try to remind mother and dad, when God created Adam, he created Adam in the image and likeness of God. And nowhere do we see that more than when a mother and father unitedly bring a child into the world. They're doing something. They're making that which is eternal. That child that is born is going to live for eternity. They have created that by their own act, which will never pass away. It's an eternal person that was born. And you know, beloved, that process of birth, a creation takes place. So in the new birth, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. But more than that, not only is a life created at birth a life is communicated. Each child has its parents. The flowers that are spoken of in 1 Peter 1, all flesh is as grass, and as the flower of the field, the flower perish, I'm not quoting it properly, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. So you see, the flowers trace themselves back to their parental seed. So do our offspring. And therefore, we have to say with assurance, We did not spring from our own loins. We did not birth ourselves. We were not self-created in the natural. We had life communicated to us, and we had life that was communicated by the parents, by our parents. Now there are links between the Son and the Father that go all the way back to Adam. But now think of regeneration. In regeneration, there is not merely life created. We're His workmanship created. There's not merely life created, but there is life communicated. Even the very life of God who hath begotten us unto a living hope. The very life of God is communicated to us in the new birth. Look back in 1 Peter at verse 3. Verse 3 of 1 Peter 1. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That looks back to being begotten of God. That's the same as being born of God. Life communicated. And then it looks forward. Verse 4. "To an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away." Here's all the blessings incorporated in the life communicated to us at birth. All the blessings of the kingdom of God. An inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that doesn't fade away. But now notice something else. Not only is life created, not only is life communicated, but in natural birth and in spiritual birth, life is inherited. In the natural, there are certain propensities that we inherited from our parents. Temperament. The way we look. The way we do things. A lot of times we look at the son of a father and we can see the father when we look at the son. And the same is true of daughters. You see, the way we look, facial features, our height, and a lot of things, it goes back to whom? To our parents. You see, life is inherited. Now in the spiritual. When we're born of God, we have a heavenly nature, and we have a heavenly inheritance. You see, the new nature is holy. The new nature is holy. That's why Peter says to the church, "See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Why? I have a nature now to love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Oh, what a blessing it is to be regenerated. I can do something that is peculiarly godly. For God so loved the world. And if that is a nature of God, then that becomes a nature of those that are born of God. We love one another. See that you love one another with a pure heart. Fervently. You see, excuse me, not only is a new nature holy, but the one who is born of God cannot help but serve God. Oh, here's one of the ways we know that we're born of God. A desire to serve Him. A desire to live for Him. But notice there's another way. Not only is life communicated, not only is life created, not only is life inherited, but did you ever notice life is complete. That baby that was born yesterday had every member that it will ever have. When a child is born, it is born complete. It is a complete person. You don't live 10 years and get a leg, and another 10 years and get an ear. That life is complete when it's born. All it needs is what? Growth and maturity. So in the family of God, beloved, when we're born into the family of God, we're born into God's family complete. complete. And all we need is to grow in grace. That's why we have 2 Peter chapter 2. Notice verse 1. Wherefore, having told us in the closing verses of chapter 1 that we have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. In chapter 2 he says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, why? That ye may grow thereby. Now there's a desire for growth. We've been born into a family. And now there's a desire for growth. But now let's contrast very quickly the two births. We've noticed how they're similar. My, what a blessing. But now let us notice how they're opposite. In our first birth, beloved, we became partakers of corruptible seed. Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Our first birth was of corruptible seed. You see, the depravity of my parents is received within me when I was born. David in Psalm 51 says, behold, I was born in sin, and I was shapen in iniquity. And you see, that deadly virus of sin that was infused into Adam and Eve when they sinned in the Garden of Eden has been infused into every one of their children all the way down until it reaches me. And it reaches my children, and it reaches my grandchildren. The virus is in us all. In the first birth, we're in partakers of corruptible seed. But notice, in the new birth, it's incorruptible seed. We are born of God. And now, we are born to holiness. When I was born the first time, I was born to sin. I couldn't help it. Everything good I had to learn. But I never had to be taught how to sin. That came naturally. And the same is true with you. That comes naturally. Disobedience comes naturally. But now that I'm born again, friends, I'm born again to holiness. The first birth made me an heir of corruption. But the second, I'm an heir of incorruption. In the first birth, it was depravity. That's why we speak of the total depravity of man outside of Christ. In the second birth, there is perfection. Now notice, in the first birth, dread uncertainties attended it. When you look at a baby, what do you think? I'll tell you one of the things that I always think when I look at a baby, and I love to look at them. What's going to become of this child? Uncertainty with the first birth. This past Monday night, I preached at Central Prison. Had a great opportunity preaching the gospel to a large group of men at Central Prison in Raleigh. But you want to know something? Every one of those men was once a little baby in his mother's arms. A many a baby grows up to break the very heart of their parents. For uncertainty surrounds our first birth, you see. But when we're born again, friends, we never break the father's heart. Think of it. The person born into the family of God will never break their father's heart. Because he puts there his very nature within. Their nature shall and is that which is worthy of the Father. The Father puts that in us which will bring him delight. And beloved, here's one of the ways we know that we're born of God. We have an inner delight to do the Father's will. You see, those who are born of God live to honor him. And there's a day coming when we're going to be perfectly like him. We're going to rise up to glorify God the Father forever. In closing, very quickly, three things. the doorway to life is birth. Physical life, our first birth. Spiritual life, the kingdom of God, the new birth. Oh, as we start a new year today, beloved, we must ask the question, have you been born of God? Oh, this is the most important thing in your life. Now, birth is something you can't do yourself. God has to do it. If God doesn't do it, it isn't done. Now, it's important to realize it is God who does it. The third thing I'd like to leave with you is this. If this has never taken place in your life, why not turn to the Lord today and ask Him to perform that gracious work in your life? Right there as you are, just as you are, say, Lord, this is what I need. I want to start 1988 in Christ. I want to be sure I'm born of God. Just as you are and just where you are, ask Him to graciously perform a work in you. Why not? Let's pray together. And now we pray Thee, our God and Father, Thou wilt graciously speak to hearts. We thank You for this morning. We know that there were some difficulties, but we thank You for bringing us together. But we thank You most of all for the privilege that we can be born of God. We can be assured of heaven. We can know that we're going to be in Thy presence. And we can love one another with a pure heart and fervently because we're born of God. Oh, take Thy word and speak to every heart. We commend them all to Thee and to Thy grace in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.